advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am. Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King.
You say funny things.
We're having technical difficulties. Ah, it is loud. What happened?
Loud.
Because Dave thought it was quiet, but then you turned that up. You turned the whole computer up. I don't think it's actually loud on levels. Just loud in Dave's ear. And then it fucked me up because I thought you were...
Mine's loud.
I thought you were for sure were bailing we out at That's that better. Point.
No, I was trying to figure out what was going on over here because it was extremely loud in my earballs.
Earballs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I have some pamplemousse here.
I like pamplemousse. It's my favorite flavor.
Pamplemousse. I didn't realize that's what a grapefruit was called.
It isn't.
It says natural pamplemousse in parentheses grapefruit.
I just call it grapefruit.
What language is that? That's French or something?
Uh-huh.
Look.
Yes, it's French.
Yeah. Is it?
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Pamplemousse. I don't know what
I don't
that
normally
like.
Like French except for fries.
And kisses.
I like that.
You like kisses. Pamplemousse fries?
Pamplemousse fries, yeah.
Pamplemousse toast.
It sounds like an exotic like butt cream, I think is what it is.
Pamplemousse.
Like, yeah, like for like a diaper rash, like French diaper rash cream, pamplemousse. Man.
We're still having technical difficulties.
Dave good. Is. Your good ears are bad.
No, it's still really quiet.
What the fuck? What are you on?
Math? I don't know.
Nothing's changed. Your headphones backwards or something weird?
No.
Your good ears on your bad side?
That's what happened. I'm sitting backwards.
Yeah. Let's put it in my good ear. Listening backwards. Yeah, don't make me all out. I'm fine, man. I'm not ever complaining.
I'll survive.
How's that? Is that better?
No.
What?
What is happening?
I don't know. You can pause it and fix him. Nothing.
Can you
changed.
Fucking hear now? Is it off?
No, I can't hear anything
okay.
at all.
That's definitely his.
There you go. How's that?
Nothing.
That looks really low compared to ours. Like
it is. It's like fucking, is that better?
No.
Here, right there. Is
that's
that good?
Better. Yes.
Go.
Okay. Jesus Christ.
You just need you need my hand. That's all.
I don't know. That's where it was in the first place.
I agree with that statement. I saw those knobs. And I know that no one touches any of this shit down here. You know what I mean? Nothing's moved.
Hey, you're fucking with us.
Dave was listening on the wrong side again.
Well, the TV's not even on. Oh, we're fucked. The ding's fucked up. The fucking... Now I'm low.
What the hell's going on?
We have the curse. We have the curse of Elvis.
Yeah. Okay. It looks like we're loud over here, though.
Man,
I don't know. This is fucked up. Okay,
I'm fine except for the ding got backwards because you guys were all fucked up on audio.
All right. So okay. TV's up, computer's up.
Yeah,
volumes are up.
Dave's signal is fucking huge over there.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
huge and orange.
A lot smaller.
Yeah. That's a big signal.
Okay. Mm. All right. Yeah, because this got turned up. I'll turn you down. I don't like to hear you too much.
You got questions? And
yeah, I do have a question. So. A person, I think it's a woman by the name of Oscar Escobar.
Mm-hmm.
He is a sheep fucker professionally by
AKA
trade.
Pamplemousse.
Pamplemousse.
That's his rap name.
It is his rap name.
That's a funny face,
know?
Dave. You didn't like that?
No, I did.
Oh, that's your happy face.
Take a sip of my pamplemousse.
I'm drinking the classic laddie scotch.
So his question is, when a fresh baby is born, would you eat the umbilical cord? Don't think too hard about it, he says. It's a fresh one, not an old one.
No.
What if it's your baby?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, well, no.
Okay. What if it was your umbilical cord?
No.
I'm saying no to you.
Yeah, because why? Like, what's the benefit?
I don't know. People eat it.
If we thought harder about it, maybe there's some benefit.
Stem cells.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like your hair might grow back, Brent.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
You got a grin.
If I got superpowers...
Yeah, I don't know.
I turn into
if
baby
you,
man.
If you immediately turn it down... You don't know. That's what I'm saying.
I already did, so I'm fucked.
All right. You turn into baby man, I'm punching you.
So you're thinking, you're thinking hard about it. That's see, we're breaking the rules. You said not
we
to
always
think hard
break
about
the
it.
Rules. Just fuck that guy. Who the fuck is Oscar Escobar?
Pamplemousse.
Nobody. Oh.
Yeah. AKA Pamplemousse.
Yeah. I like his music.
Yeah.
Gangster rap.
And aren't you supposed to eat the placenta, not the umbilical cord?
I don't know. I think
cord?
People eat the umbilical cord too.
Hmm. I don't think people do that. I think pit bulls do that.
I always thought it was an umbilical cord. And then like, it kept telling me I was spelling it wrong. It's umbilical, like umbilical. An umbrella.
Placenta. Have you seen anybody eat their placenta?
I've seen
not
one fall to the
own.
Floor.
I've seen them cook them up on YouTube.
It's fucking horrible.
That is gross. You seen one fall to the floor?
Mm-hmm.
Like a whoopee cushion?
Yeah.
Just hits the ground?
Yeah.
That's what I always pictured a placenta looking like, a whoopee cushion. For whatever reason, I cannot eat it.
Actually, have you watched that go down? Like, did you watch any of that? You didn't see any of that?
Uh-uh.
Where were you at? You weren't in the room?
I was there.
You just didn't look?
Nope.
I almost fucking
you just looked the woman right in the eyes. They told me to look once. Like, oh, look, the head's crowning. I was like, oh, God, no. Yeah.
Hot dog in a hallway after that, man. Yeah. Yep. Don't look. It's intimidating.
Best way is the C-section.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a fucking curtain.
No, I watched that, too.
Yeah.
I took pictures of that.
Oh, no. Why?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Alien status. Yeah. I don't know. I did okay.
You don't like
time.
Gory movies and shit, and you're looking at live fucking live action cutting.
Because that was real, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. It doesn't haunt me or anything, but I did watch
like,
it.
I don't like it. I don't like it.
Umbilical. You're right. I don't really think it's about weird. That. I've never had to see that spelled, but.
Weird word. So we have a Teco winner.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Noggle is the hot sack winner.
Boondoggle?
All because he broke the law.
Breaking the law.
So he posted not in the hot sack post, right?
At first.
He did. Eventually, he figured it out. But due to his disabilities, he couldn't. He actually can't read.
Yeah.
And he's dyslexic. So he posted in the normal forum, which, you know, is usually.
He posted in the group or something.
Yeah, he posted in the group. And that's not okay, Jim. It's not okay. But I thought it was cool. And, you know, we like to help people out. We donate to the Make-A-Wish Foundation and all that. And so
now we have to.
No, we
do
don't.
We?
No, we don't.
Yeah.
It's like they're wishing for money and we're like, maybe. Like, so, yeah. So Jim Noggle.
Karma alone. I'm setting that up now, you bastard.
He had some
well, look, the
Mexican,
day that Make-A-Wish wants us to like visit somebody, I'm totally
cool.
down.
Yeah.
Nobody wants us to that.
somebody
yeah, because I mean, you put me in a room full of kids with cancer. Like, that's going to be like the hardest thing to not fucking destroy one of their faces.
Yeah.
That's sad. That's really sad. I don't want to do that. That's really sad.
My nephew had leukemia when he was like two.
That's
rough.
Horrible.
No shit.
Mm-hmm.
The one that looks like Captain America now?
No.
Not that one. Nephew.
Yeah, oh, okay. He's not here anymore.
No. Yikes.
Mexican inspired tacos with King of Flavor and some hashtag team cum on them.
Wow.
I liked it.
Nice.
That's the only kind of advertising we do.
Are there non-Mexican inspired tacos?
I think so. There's white people tacos.
Okay.
Like, and I say Mexican inspired because they're not Mexican. They were just, they looked like Mexican tacos, but I guarantee you they tasted just like Taco Bell.
No.
Like, no matter what you
do. That's the thing. You can make shitty tacos and they still won't taste like Taco Bell, though. That's a different animal. You can go buy the shells.
You can't make them that
all
good.
All the shit. You can't make it taste like Taco Bell.
I know, you can't
house.
Make them that good.
I like Taco Bell tacos.
I know. That's
as long as the shell isn't stale.
That's a problem.
Yeah. That's what happens.
Yeah, usually though, you get the Doritos Locos ones,
and that's a delicate dance.
It's delicate.
You have to baby that shit into your mouth. And
I can't
crumble.
Figure out like why didn't they make the tortilla thicker instead of having a fucking cardboard fucking holder that it comes in? Like,
I'm sure
wouldn't
they
that
tried,
cost more
man.
Money?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Wouldn't
they
it
tried.
Cost more money?
It must not have, or they wouldn't have done it.
I guess.
Or why didn't they just coat the regular shell with the Dorito stuff? They had to make a whole new thing.
I don't know.
Like, they have a Frito-Lay fucking contract. I mean, there are Frito-Lay. They own them. Like, Pepsi owns that and owns that. Like, how did they not get together and just make
know.
That happen? I don't know.
It's
still good. It's just...
No, it's really good.
It's
I like it thin.
To eat.
I like it thin. But, yeah.
I actually have my family has a strange taco sauce history.
Let's hear it.
We take...
Your family has a strange lot of things.
Yeah, history. We do. But my oldest sister, Lisa... would always make tacos when we were growing up, and she would like fry the shells and do the whole thing and make it pretty legit. And her taco sauce was she would take Italian dressing and put a shitload of hot sauce in it. and you put it on the tacos. And I'm not saying
that must be a Detroit thing.
I'm not saying anyone should do it because most people do not like it, as I've given it to people over the years, but it's fucking delicious and it's extra delicious with El Yucateco. Because you had a shitload of hot sauce in it. You had a shitload of hot sauce into the Italian dressing.
I did.
And put it on the taco. It's delicious.
When I had the taco shop,
barbecue sauce.
I used to do that because the taco shop was in a sandwich shop that was just closed after hours and we did it there. And so they had the vinegar sauce on. It's a sub shop. So they had that vinegar dressing stuff on all the tables. So I would get crafty and do weird things like I go buy French onions and put them on the tacos and then put the vinegar sauce and stuff on there and other things that are not El Yucateco, all kinds of experimental things. And I would just take it out and give it to someone.
Yeah, you know, hot dog tacos didn't work out.
Yeah. But I would carry that one waist high.
Yeah.
When I presented it.
Yeah. I just like how Dave
they just tug and pull.
Never get it. Yeah. Never goes get it away. But it does squirt sour cream.
Yeah.
Or in my case, mashed potatoes whenever I served them. But yeah, I like how Dave immediately says, I don't expect anybody to ever do this because it's horrible, but you guys should try it.
No, I think it's delicious. Like my family thinks it's delicious. We grew up eating it, but when it's about 50-50. I'll make it for people and about 50% of the people are like, no, that's actually really good. I don't think I ever would have done that. And about 50% of them are like,
I'm not turned off, but I'm okay. I think my stepdad puts potatoes in tacos, which is kind of cool too. Yeah,
I'm down with that.
That's good.
That's weird.
It is weird, but it's good.
But speaking of Mexican food, there's our member of the month. So this is the last shout out for our February calendar boy, Mr. Red Cos, or as we know him, Rodrigo Francisco Guadalupe Cos Sanchez Leche Frijoles El Gato. So shout out to him. He is the Skull member of the month. We'll have a new one on Friday.
He goes by Milk Beanie Cap.
Just Milk Beanie Cap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's his short name.
Yeah, he looks like a full condom.
That's where the description comes from.
That's where it comes from. Yeah, that's what he looks like.
He looks like a full condom.
That's when it comes back up the shaft. You're like, that was close. Like,
yeah, but all sets in the head of the condom.
Looks like a lava lamp. Kind of like a lava lamp with veins.
Oh, man. That is an image I cannot erase from my brain.
So that's that.
Gross. So are you, who's replacing him? You're doing that next episode?
Friday's episode. We'll have a new one. So if you want to become one, just post, comment, hashtag. It's my favorite thing.
I didn't think you meant to do it that time.
No, it just says it.
It stayed around.
Yeah, it's there. So, and I'll pick a new one, or maybe Brent or Dave will find somebody that is worthy and will mention you pretty much all month long and talk shit about you. So I think it's pretty fun.
I'm gonna throw one thank you out so I don't forget to do it. Brianna Gill on Instagram. She's art.of.meh.
Fuck that bitch.
So art.of.meh. She sent us a piece of artwork and it's a Sofa King themed. So it's a couch with a crown on it and it looks like Cherry or whatever it was from Pee Wee Herman. A lot. I think maybe she doesn't get the wordplay. It's a cool piece of art, but she might not know the joke behind the words until she hears this. And she's questioning it right now. Like, what do they mean, the joke behind the words?
Right.
And she's like, son of a bitch. That just means one more piece of artwork coming our way.
Nice. Yeah. Well played.
But thank
sir.
You for the art, Brianna.
How would you do the art for that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's weird. But we do have a couch on our website, so maybe she's not.
We do.
Yeah, she's not that far off.
Yeah.
We have a couch in our studio.
And we have a couch in our studio. It has wombat pillows on it.
It does. We have we have couches in our homes as well.
We do.
We're not lying when we say Sofa King.
And love seats. We should be called the Love Seat Podcast.
Mm.
That'd be good. It's taken, though. I think there is a Love Seat Podcast.
I own that domain.
You ruined it.
And all of those
That's why we can't do it. So
couch guys, all the dining
couch stupid guys,
all the weak ass ones that surround it.
Potato, what is it? Couch potato podcast. Yeah. We own it. Yeah, yep. It's all ours. Yeah. Sofa Queen podcast. Yep. Sorry, Queen Latifah. Nice. Yeah. Not getting any fat bitch.
We muscled her out.
Yep.
Yeah, we did.
Doesn't take much. You lure her out with a hot dog.
She loves hot dogs.
Hey, it's very hot dog themed show. So
I know
far.
It's been. I don't know why.
A lot of hot dogs.
Are hot dogs not funny?
Dude, someone I went to high school
hot dogs are hysterical.
They are.
Especially cheese filled hot dogs.
Those are weird.
You guys saw that person, the girl that was found dead in the by Whiskey Flats?
Yeah, yeah.
That's like my, I went to elementary school, junior high and high school with that girl.
Yeah, that's why you don't go walking down the canyon after a fight with your husband or whatever.
Allegedly, yeah. We'll see what comes of that. But
either he pushed her off or maybe a flying car around the corner scared her or something.
I don't know.
Somebody
yeah.
murdered her.
It's not a good place to walk at night, but that's pretty crazy.
Close to home. A flying car?
A flying car.
Fuck.
There's a lot of there's DeLoreans in the canyon. There's a lot of them.
A lot of them.
That's pretty, that's hardcore.
88 miles per hour, Marty.
Like right through the canyon. It's no straight shot through there. So that's all I got. We're talking about, speaking of dead bodies, we're talking about Elvis Presley today.
That was a good segue. I liked that a lot.
Yeah.
I liked that a lot. So yeah, Elv, we've done a lot of musicians and was this one on the list?
I think this is our first white musician, isn't it?
I think he's on there.
No, yeah. We did Frank Sinatra. Did we do Frank Sinatra?
No.
Why haven't we done Frank Sinatra?
We should do Frank Sinatra. Jesus we need Christ. To do Frank Sinatra.
Haven't we done Sammy Davis Jr.? Which one did we do?
We did Junior.
We did the Black Pack.
Yeah.
Did we? No. We did Davis Jr.?
You shouldn't be sad. You should be happy.
Why?
Because we still get to do it.
That's true. But I was thinking they were better than they're going to be. You know, shitty.
Your expectations are
Yeah, my expectations are already.
For yourself.
Yeah.
I like the undercurrent of that statement was that our best days are behind
us.
Well,
I'm trying to think of what other musicians we've done. It's only been like hip hop artists. We've done Biggie, Tupac, who else do we do? We did Willie Nelson.
Hip Hop Anonymous.
We did Willie Nelson, right? No, we haven't. No,
I'm not
Willie
playing
Nelson.
Your game.
Garth Brooks. We did Garth Brooks.
Yes.
Who else have we done? I'm asking.
Sinead O'Connor.
Look, we did Sinead O'Connor.
Mm-hmm.
Aerosmith.
Yes.
Fuck. Do I have to really look this up?
No, you don't.
No, don't look it up.
See, here's why you don't look it up. Because if people already listened to all the episodes, they already know exactly which musicians we did.
And they're yelling
at me. And if
they
didn't, now they're like, oh, fuck, I should go look into all these musicians.
Yeah, because I don't know.
I honestly don't know.
I don't know.
I thought, because we did like, I don't even know what it was called. We did one on crypto creatures or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was like looking at the one we're doing next, I started to think that we had already done it.
Right.
And I was like, oh, this looks familiar. Why does this look familiar? But
it's
because
we had talked about it at one point.
Yeah, we've talked
a little bit.
We talked about it on the Men in Black episode as well.
Yeah. And I think, did we talk about it on the Chupacabra episode or no?
So, yeah.
Did we do Chupacabra?
Yes.
I'm not sure.
We did.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Oh, I'm positive.
Q-tip lady.
Oh,
Q-tip
yeah.
lady.
That's right.
Yeah.
Boom. And I got real scared. I had to run to my bed.
That's right. You got Chupacabra.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you were in the cabin doing that one, huh? Where were you?
No, I think he was home alone.
I fell asleep watching YouTube videos.
Oh, that's right. That's
and then scared the shit out of myself. I like woke up with like super bad anxiety.
So I'm gonna put something out here at the very beginning of the Elvis episode, which is I don't like Elvis.
I like it.
I'm
not a fan.
I've never once listened to an Elvis song and been like, that's
I'll say this.
Dope.
He's in his younger years, he was handsome as fuck. That dude looks like, you know, a doll or something.
Oh,
like
I'll give him, I mean, I'll give him mad credit for his ability to pimp the system, for his ability to fucking make fucking 32 movies.
But I don't get
like
why
all
people
his number
in
one
every
hits.
Country are still crying.
No, I don't either.
And
it's like, I went, it was years ago now, but we were driving when Erica went to Australia. Her mom drove her to LAX and I rode along with her. And like on the way back, she listened to Elvis and I just wanted to jump out of the fucking car because it was like 30 minutes of Elvis. I was like, that's about enough,
right.
Elvis. Like, that's cool. Like, and I know people love him. I've just never resonated with me. I used to feel that way about the Beatles, but I had like an epiphany and I was like, no, the Beatles are pretty fucking dope. I just never listened to that type of music. But Elvis, I think
if you grew up, really, if you grew up listening
to
him,
it did seem to be a generational thing. Like when they were interviewing people in the documentaries, there was like people from like the Philippines, from Japan, like all over the world. They have like contests and impersonators. But every time you saw someone that was like, there was people crying from other countries because he never went on tour. Like they're like, we waited and he never came, you know, and he died
too
young.
Jesus.
We didn't get to actually see him.
Yeah. Right.
But it was this worldwide phenomenon, you know what I mean? So, and they felt like the sense of loss because they didn't get to truly experience it.
The Elvis,
and they were still crying like today. Right. I'm talking about an interview like a couple years ago.
Yeah.
These women 2014, are crying, but they're from the right era. You know, they were like teenagers to like 30s.
I mean, it's just like anything else. Like we've talked about Magic, you know, the game, you know, Magic the Gathering, how it's like for me, I play it and it's a sentimental thing. You know what I mean? It's not about, it's not just a game to me. It's like something that takes you back, you know? So I think Elvis for a lot of people is kind of the same way. I think if you're your favorite artist and you never got to see him in concert, you know, we're lucky enough to see, be able to go see our favorite artist in concert, except for Willie Nelson, cause he's going to die. But, you know, you're going to feel how those old women feel, Brent. You're going to be like 60. Willie Nelson's dead. He almost came to Bakersfield, but had to cancel the show. And you're like, fuck, I never fucking saw Willie Nelson. You're just playing his songs, crying.
I did see him though. So
did you?
Yeah. Second row of Fox Theater.
Rise. Yeah, he never came here.
Told that story.
But I never saw
that
Prince.
Wasn't even him.
I'd have been really fucking sad. I already was really sad, but I'd have been like extra bonus sad if I hadn't seen Prince live.
So I
understand.
I wouldn't cry though, but I don't know.
And I think I'm putting my finger on it right now for the first time, why I don't really care for Elvis. And I think it's because his music was kind of like this blending. It was like this chimera of like different styles. And it was like rockabilly, country, gospel, blues. But it wasn't good, any of them, because it was kind of all of them.
Right. Yeah.
So it's like, I like blues from that era a lot. And he was a shitty blues man.
Right.
You know, and it's like, I've never liked gospel, but I mean, he's in the Gospel Hall of Fame. He's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He's in the Country Hall of Fame. He's in, he's rockabilly, like he really kind of started rockabilly, even though if you listen to rockabilly right now, it doesn't sound like Elvis, but the greased hair and the leather, like that was the thing that rockabilly people still do. So he was a huge
genre though. You know what I mean? It's like, how do we separate all music into these very like specific genres? It's like, oh, it doesn't fall into 27 classifications on iTunes. Mm-hmm. Then it's not normal. It's a blend of these two, but that's its own genre. You know what I mean? Like, so at least he was original, I guess.
Well, and I think that's what it was. I think when he came out, there was absolutely nothing like him. You know, he's on stage shaking.
Johnny
Carson was like, why is he getting sexual on stage or something like that? You know, like they're like he shouldn't be on TV doing these things that he's doing. All he's doing is like wiggling his hips, Ed Sullivan. Yeah. So, I mean, I think when he came out, he blended these styles. Nobody ever had done it before.
No, not at all.
Maybe in some back, maybe he picked up the styles from somewhere. You know
from
what I mean?
From everything that I researched, no one had done it. Like,
yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, I don't want to say up front that I don't respect him or think he didn't have talent, or because he was immensely talented
and
he fucking earned his reputation and he fucking put in the work and he did
Your
it.
Taste I mean, just doesn't like
I
him.
Just, yeah, yeah, I just don't like his music.
I'm in the same boat.
I love his movies. Fucking love his movies. Yeah. They're just so ridiculous.
He's like the Rock,
over the top, horrible. Like,
he's like the Rock of his time.
Yeah, it's like Dwayne Johnson. You're a car mechanic who's gonna I'm gonna win this race. Like, it's like every what do you do? You're a professional gambler. I'm gonna roll these dice. Yeah. It's like
he's Nick Cage.
Like every
he's
movie
Nick Cage
is the same fucking movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they
Keanu
were fantastic.
Yeah.
Like in early cable days when like the cable networks were like desperate for content, they were like several networks that would just show Elvis movies all night long because they were dirt cheap to play, and I would watch all of them. And I just fucking loved them because they were so over the top. And even like when I was researching it, it's like you read people and like everyone said, like critically and popularly, everyone just said these are really bad movies. Like at the time, like
even
everyone,
fans,
like everyone said they were bad movies, but the head of the studio, the head of the studio said there is only one thing that is certain in cinema, and that is that an Elvis Presley movie makes a lot of money.
Right.
So even though even the studio head was like, these are shit, but we can just keep fucking churning them out because they're just money factories. Because then they end up selling
and
number
he's cheap
one
to
records
pay because
and,
he needs cocaine money.
That's right.
Like he's like,
wasn't too cheap to pay. He made some crazy money for some.
You see how much he paid for Graceland though?
Yeah.
Like $102,500 for Graceland. Yeah. Like, man, to go back in time.
Yeah.
Back like, in if the you day. Just had your money now, it's crazy.
So Elvis was looking back at his life. He was he had 18 number one singles. He was, like I said, he was in all those Hall of Fames, just tons of accolades heaped upon him. But his childhood, he was born in 1935 in Mississippi, and I didn't know that he was born The second of twins,
yeah.
But the older brother died 35 minutes before he was born. Yeah.
Jesse Preston.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a lot of weirdness behind that. Like that played a huge role in his childhood development. His mom took that loss really hard and like she would talk to the twin in the house.
Oh man.
Throughout their childhood.
Jesse, come here. Dinner's ready. Yeah. Oh, never addresses.
I don't know
about
quite like that, but you know, like, oh, Jesse would have loved this, you know, your brother. And she like wouldn't let it go. Elvis had a really like weird separation anxiety because of it. Yeah. And I guess there's a thing. It's like a twin thing, like twinless twins, are statistically higher, for like substance abuse.
Oh yeah.
For like high risk behavior and activities. Yeah. There is a weird biological thing when a twin loses the other twin.
Well, they have that twin intuition thing, you know, like, and so like they're connected on some level. Yeah. Like it's really weird.
Right.
Like if you watch twins.
Oh no, it's creepy. It's
but they strange. Would even, they would go visit the brother's grave a lot. And so like on his way to school, I guess he would like cut through the graveyard and go like, you know, talk to his brother's grave.
So
he
picked it up from his
grave.
So
yeah, a lot of people said that it played a huge psychological factor so that like he felt like he was missing part of him and that he lived his life like he had to do it twice as hard, twice as fast, twice as good to make up for his brother because
he had twice as much cocaine.
A sense of guilt.
Amphetamines.
There was the whole thing of like the psychological factor of like, why did I live and he died? It's not fair.
Right.
But he felt like a loss for a brother that he didn't know.
You know who he should have saw? Was that could actually diagnose this is Dr. Joseph Mengele.
Mm-hmm.
He could have helped him with the twin. Yeah, he was good with
twins.
Yeah, and meth. Yeah.
He would have been
that guy was the premier doctor in his day
to
go see about this type of thing.
Could have put Jesse's arm on Elvis's belly button.
Oh, that's right.
Really good sexual hip movement.
Quato style.
He's like, his shirts are just draping, like kind of out the front. Like what is that? Like, yeah, my brother's hand.
Is that your brother's baby arm? Yeah. Or are you just happy to see me?
Yeah, he's like, Like, which one is it?
He had a strange like bond with his mom to the point of it was like one of those creepy things like you're gonna be famous or a serial killer.
Yeah,
right.
Like his mom, his dad went to jail for like falsifying a check, and then he bonds with his mom at some weird level.
Yeah,
that it affects him his entire life.
Yeah, all the way through his life.
Girls
hardcore
dates,
hardcore about his mom.
Says his mom's name during intimate moments. Weird shit throughout his childhood.
That's weird. That's strange.
He had a really weird psychological thing with his mom and the loss of his brother. It affected him greatly. It was weird.
You think it was sexual?
I don't think anything sexual happened with his mom, but I think that because his dad left and his brother died, he bonded with his mom in a strange way. There was even stories that people would tell, like family and friends said that when he was three, he'd be like running around playing and then stop and like pat his mom on the leg and say, "Don't worry, mom, I'm going to take care of you." Even at like a super young age, he took on this like...
That wasn't a very good Elvis impression.
Yeah, no.
It was very bad. And this was in the South. His eyes were a little close together.
A little bit.
But yeah, he took on like the head of household at like toddler age to fill the male role. And like a lot of people said, it was like one soul, two bodies. That like his mom, it was like where Redfern grows. Like when he takes off to the military, it plays a huge part in his mom's decline in health and stuff.
Right.
Really, so the mom actually had her... twins that were actually triplets stuck inside the mom at birth.
Yeah.
And then she had the twins, which were her other two paired to the triplets. Mm-hmm. That's what happened. But one died, so that's why they had the twin bond still, him and the mom.
Don't worry, mama. I'm gonna take care of you.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Dave just that was killing you that I didn't.
It was. It was real. It's really mama. I was having a really hard time with it.
I'll work on it. Maybe if opportunity.
Did you call her Mama Bear? Mama Bear.
Yeah, Mama Bear. Don't worry about it, Mama Bear.
No, but like when his dad got out of jail and came back home, like he had already kind of filled the spot. It was like a weird thing where like his dad wasn't ambitious, didn't hold down a job, just didn't really do much. And so Elvis was like, he was the guy at the house. Yeah. Like he was the head of the house. It's fucking weird.
So he got into music young. Mm-hmm. His mama got him a guitar at the age of 10. Which didn't seem...
He kept that guitar all the way until like his first like big... He had a couple big shows that he played with that kid's guitar.
Yeah.
And then he turned it into a pawn shop for $8 and bought a Martin.
And I kept...
For $8?
No, he bought a Martin for $175, but they gave him $8 for the guitar he turned in. And then they threw it in the trash can in front of him.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
They're like, just so he'd buy the Martin.
Probably worth a bunch of money wherever
Oh, it'd be epic.
Yeah, that guy that threw that in the trash can's kicking himself in the ass.
Yeah, he is.
Still
that shit would be at the Smithsonian right now.
It would. Like,
fuck.
But I kept the articles kept like acting like him playing guitar at the age of 10 wasn't like that he got a guitar at the age of 10 was like crazy. Well, I just kind of feel read, like, isn't that
I read different
kind
things.
Of a normal time?
Yeah, get, I read different things that he wanted a gun and his mom said no.
Or a bike.
And then a bike. So there was a few different things. There was something else too I saw and I was like, what is this happening here? Like, this is false statements.
Right.
So
it was his recollect. It was his account of it. He said he got a guitar, but he had hoped for something else. I think it was it was a rifle or a bike or something. He didn't get it. But yeah, he's crazy, and he didn't excel at music in like school.
Right.
He did horrible.
But his family was like super religious, so he went to church all the time and saw the Southern gospel scene. You know, and even one thing that I read was that there was a the Mississippi Slim radio hour was like a local radio show. And I guess his
Slim's little
brother was in school with Elvis. So they would go to the radio station and hang out and listen. And it was, and when I heard that name, I was like, that guy must be a fucking blues guy, but he wasn't. He was like a country, like a super like old timey Slim.
You know,
So, so he had these influences early on. And then, once his dad went to jail, the only place they could afford to live was an African American neighborhood. So he started to suddenly get this influence of blues and African American music. So he kind of grew up with this hodgepodge of all the things that influence his style later on. And which
might have been he didn't really have good rhythm, so that's why he danced like he danced.
Maybe.
But he was trying to pick up the black dance, you know, like whatever they were
doing.
He
actually had good rhythm that had to do with like stage anxiety, like him having nerves and being nervous.
Oh, really?
And
he was twitchy. He's like, twitchy.
And his legs would shake. Oh, wow. So like his way of like, okay, I'm going to try to dance
shake
to this fucking
out.
Rhythm
yeah.
and I have anxiety really bad.
That's where you got the shake out from.
It turned into that.
Right, right.
But that Slim guy put him on the radio at age 12 and he fucking had like super panic the first round and didn't do well. And then the second time he actually did well on the radio.
And same thing. He did like some talent shows and he would panic and not want to go out. But then eventually he would get convinced to do it. And it was age 11 when he got his guitar. You can give me a 1-star review later.
Oh, they will.
Yeah, they will. But
there's a chart behind that curtain over there, and I have little gold stars under your name every time you fucked up.
Every episode,
Dave,
1-star. Yeah.
They're like the ones from the third grade where you got the Pizza Hut coupon for one pan pizza that your parents never took you to fucking get. Like you read all the books gave you the coupon.
Like the sticker. It has like 50 stars on one sheet, the gold stars. Yep. Yeah.
And then you finally got it. The pizza coupon was expired.
I think you're saying you, but you mean me.
No, I do mean you.
I think you just said me,
which meant you.
No, I never had Pizza Hut coupons.
Are you talking about me or you?
I was talking about him.
I think he's talking about himself.
I think he might be talking about you, though.
No, I never had Pizza Hut coupons.
Huh. They did.
Brent.
They might have.
Okay, hold on. Brent.
What?
Did you get Pizza Hut coupons when you were a child?
They were expired.
now my kids get John's Incredible coupons and we never take them because that place is fucking horrible.
Oh, fuck that place.
I like that.
It's good. I mean, the food's good.
Yeah, okay.
The food's good.
But it's a goddamn chaotic.
It's a fucking mess. It's like going to the circus and the animals are the kids. Parents.
Yeah.
Parents.
So 1954, Elvis ends up, which I was kind of surprised by. So he has like this shaky, no pun intended, upbringing in music. He's not like some music superstar or some musical savant early on or something. And I was really surprised because he suddenly gets invited in 1954 to Sun Studio to record his first tracks.
I read that he went to Sun Studio in an effort to lay down two tracks on an acetate fucking album or whatever, because he wanted to hear how he sounded. And a lot of historians say there was a closer recording studio that was cheaper, but he knew that Sun Studios, although more expensive, he might get discovered because he thought higher of himself and that he might actually discover there.
Because Sun Studios was legit. Like it's like when it
and
came to
done it,
blues
he,
in the 1950s, 60s and 70s, Sun Studios was where it's at.
Yeah. They're basically, it was intended to be a gift for his mother. He was going to put down two tracks on an album, but he went to Sun and the people are like, he thought he might get discovered. He went. And after he recorded it or whatever, they actually took down his name and made note of him.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the first, I mean, those songs that he recorded at Sun Studios were hits.
Right.
Like just out the fucking box. It worked. Like his gamble of going to Sun to record the stuff worked. And it was also, it's really unorthodox because they like, that wasn't a label that did a lot of, as to my knowledge, they didn't do a lot of white acts. They didn't do a lot of country. Like it was like primarily like a blues label.
Right.
Really.
Yeah.
But he got on there, and the owner of it, Sam Phillips, basically one of the things that I read was that Sam Phillips wanted to bring, he thought that he could be more successful as Sun Studios if he could bring like the style of African American music to a white audience.
And that was, and, that was his market right there. Right. He said, and that this was, guy.
Right.
He
and
saw it just,
and it
he
wasn't it. Done. Yeah. Like that yeah. wasn't like, there was no crossover. There was no, yeah. like, that's it. There was white music, and there was think, black music. And this guy saw Elvis as this figure yeah. That could like,
he was quoted to say, if I could find a white man who had that Negro sound and Negro feel, I could make $1 billion.
Right.
Yeah. And that was his guy.
And that's yep. true.
yeah. There it is.
Yeah. And it's funny because he had trouble with black audiences because they said he sounded like a hillbilly, and mm-hmm. he had trouble with the white audience because they said he sounded like he's black.
Right.
Yeah.
To the point that like, during a radio interview on one of these hits where everyone got really excited about, oh, who is this guy? The interviewer had to subtly ask him like, oh, what high school did you go to kind of like hint like, oh, it's a white guy.
Right.
Without saying.
Yeah. Cause he,
much.
Even though he lived in a black neighborhood, yeah. you can't go to the black school.
Right. Right. Right.
Yeah. Like you're going so to the white
they
school.
They said, yeah. Like, oh, I'm go to this high school or whatever. Right. And it's notable to say that he started to get his style of his hair, that whole, you know, his longer hair, mm-hmm. he put Vaseline and rose mm-hmm. oil or something yep. in his hair. Yep. And he would go downtown to some place that fancy clothes or whatever and start looking at these really extravagant clothes. And by his senior year, he was like, fuck it. I'm yep. wearing that crazy shit and I'm yep. putting Vaseline in my hair.
Yeah.
And he started doing that.
And that was that rockabilly scene. Yeah. I mean, that's the early hot rod culture. That's the, like that, that's the scene that he was yeah. definitely in. So he gets successful like fucking just overnight. I mean, he records those tracks in Sun Studio in 1954, and by 1955,
but nothing came of it. Like he did that one, and then he did it again. Nothing really came of that. And then he actually tried out for like a vocal quartet, and they told him
yeah.
that he couldn't sing. He didn't have an ability for harmony. And then we actually skipped like when he was in high school. His teacher, he was getting a C in music, and they said you're just not really, you're not good. You can't sing. And he brought his guitar back the next day to try to prove the teacher wrong, and like perform some like hit that was on the radio. And it's just said that the teacher, he told the teacher, you just don't appreciate my kind of singing. And the teacher's like, we'll have to agree on that.
Wait, so Brent Johnson told yeah. the teacher that?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
That was before he got all shook up. That. Yeah. It's like chocolate milk that wasn't stirred yet. And then once it gets like Yoo-hoo.
This is basically. Before he got on the Tide Pods, yeah, right?
Exactly. Right,
that's correct. Man. So, but so the next year he ends up signing with RCA, which was massive. Like, you know, they probably aren't anymore.
Yeah, like several places tried to acquire him for like $25,000, and it was like an outrageous, crazy amount. RCA Victor signed him for $40,000 or something, mm-hmm. and he wasn't old enough. He was a minor. His dad, right. who was like the fucking kind of loser mm-hmm. dad, had to sign for that, and he didn't have the best relationship, I don't think, with his dad at the time either. But his dad signed to try to help him because he couldn't sign a contract.
I probably told him to give him money. I'll right, give you some probably. Money if you sign
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly. And then the part of the deal right away was already, you're going to do movies.
Right.
And I think it's because he was good looking, et cetera. So they knew like, we can make this guy do musicals. He can do all this stuff. And one thing that I read was that, and I think it might be one of the things that leads to a whole generation feeling like they wish they had seen Elvis in concert, was when he was really like rising in fame. Unlike most musicians, he didn't tour very often because yeah. he was so busy making movies. So most musicians, like they do a tour with every album, all this stuff. He wasn't doing that. He would release the albums would come out because of a movie, not because of a
right.
tour.
He did soundtracks.
So later in life, he did a lot more concerts and he kind of holed up in Vegas and did all that stuff. But as he was getting popular, he didn't tour nearly because that's where the money is. I right. mean, that's the bread and butter is your tour. But his bread and butter was in the movies.
Did you read the story about where he sort of like found himself like in the studio? Like they recorded for fucking hours. Like they had like a bass player and himself and like a drummer or something in the studio, and they're trying to record this shit, and it comes down to the point they're like, fuck, nothing came of this shit, we're going home. To the point they had like the door open to the control room because he was trying to just be like, I'll sing these things that we know or hit songs or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then he went and grabbed his guitar allegedly and started getting all fucking weird and moving his hips and doing the Elvis thing and singing some song. And the dude on bass hopped up and started fucking playing some crazy bass line. And then all of a sudden the other guy picked up the guitar and they all started playing. And the guy pops his head back and he's like, what are you doing? And the guy was like, and Elvis was like, I don't know. And he's like, well, jump back and try to find your starting point and let's do that shit again.
Right.
And that was like their first hit. I think it's That's All Right or something. But they worked all day in the studio and nothing.
Was that the one where they did 31 takes?
I don't know.
Because I read there was one that they did 31 takes.
This one, once they did it, it was fucking solid. Right. It was, they tried all day, gave the fuck up, were about to close up and go home, and he grabbed the guitar and just started doing his fucking crazy Elvis hip dance and being all. And once he started that shit, the bass player was like, I'm into this, and they didn't know what they were doing. It was like the Johnny B. Goode scene from fucking Back to the Future, I imagine.
Right.
Where there's like, that's the sound you're looking for.
Right, yeah. Right. And so he ends up doing... which I thought, I mean, again, it's just a different era. And I thought this was very interesting, but I'm a nerd. But he signed, like he would sign, his manager would have him sign for big television shows like Milton Berle and all these people that were like the biggest people on TV at the time. And they would, it's not, because like you think about a late night talk show host right now and a musician shows up and does one song.
Right.
But I guess back then they would sign and like they would sign that in the next show. Month.
Yeah.
You would do 8 visits in the next month. So it was really to get recognition out. So he signed and he did Milton Berle. And I guess he did Milton Berle a couple of times. And then he was backstage and Milton Berle came back to him and said, quote, let him see you, son. And he said, like, you need, like, we need to back the camera off.
Right.
We like the crazy dances that I see you doing at rehearsal and all this stuff. Like, that's what you need to do on camera. Cause no one's going to know what to do with it. And Milton Berle talked him into doing it. And that was when the camera backed off. And that was like, and again, I can't conceive of life in the 1950s where watching Elvis shake his hips and sing was like super crazy controversial.
Yeah. Because like the women started screaming and shit, you know, like you watch the concerts and you're like, wow, like that's not crazy. Two Live Crew were fucking people on stage.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Exactly,
like this isn't crazy to us.
No,
but no. It was, at the time,
it was like the first time that Michelle Obama danced on Ellen and that thing moved in her pants. And the crowd went wild. Remember that happened?
I do remember that.
Don't you be talking about Dave's Michelle Obama. He's going to fuck you up.
She's fit, but her fingers are too long.
I don't know. I figured you guys had a little something going on. I don't know.
Just because she's black?
Yeah.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah, I'm honest. Admitted it, shut up.
No. I have a thing going on with Barack because I'm black, but not with Michelle.
Well, that's because you like half white. You like the halfies.
That's true. I like high yellow.
Yeah, halfies. She's a little dark chocolate, a little dark Ghirardelli.
Dark Ghirardelli.
She looks like that fresh brownie that came out of the pan. Like, that dark.
You made Brett really uncomfortable. That was fantastic. He started to talk and he just kind of went.
I got hungry and turned on at the same time. That's what you saw.
Thank you, Tom. I mean, have you ever stuck your dick in a hot brownie?
I just thought sex and brownies.
Oh, yeah.
How did that not happen?
Yeah, it's like that's like the ghetto apple pie. That's you know, right. Like.
So he performs Hound Dog on Milton Berle and it fucking blows up. And apparently like in the media, people started to call him Elvis the Pelvis and it really pissed him off. Like he couldn't stand it. And you know, there was the New York Daily News, a guy named Ben Gross, who was a writer for there, said that, quote, popular music has reached its lowest depths in the grunt and groin antics of one Elvis Presley. Elvis, who rotates his pelvis, gave an exhibition that was suggestive and vulgar, tinged with the kind of animalism that should be confined to dives and bordellos.
You know, what's funny is the drummer that was playing said that he accented the beats to complement Presley's movements. With his hips and that he used a style that he had mastered playing in strip clubs. I thought that was kind of fucking funny.
Cause you want the beat to go with the body.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So he ends up because of the Milton Berle thing is when he starts doing his first films. His first film is Love Me Tender, huge box office hit. And this is what sort of really changes Elvis's
trajectory. And he gains like the respect of other huge musicians.
Yes,
like
he does.
Like Roy Orbison saw him and said that his energy was incredible. His instinct was just amazing. And he just didn't know what to make of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was so different.
So different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think as you know, anybody in music, if you see something that's different, you might not like it, but you can appreciate it.
Absolutely.
You know, like, and I think that's where Elvis was. You know, he was doing something so different that it was just nobody, like you said, nobody knew what to make of it. They were just like, what the fuck? Like this shit, who's going to like this? But all the women.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, and that's who's buying the music, you know, like,
right.
So that's all you need.
That's a problem at one point because it was kind of immature, like the whole his mom dying and weirdness and getting famous.
Oh, sure.
They said he started liking girls when he was about 14. So he liked 14-year-old girls and then he never stopped liking 14-year-old
right,
girls.
Right, right.
That's the problem. Oh, yeah. Man.
Well, he met Priscilla when she was 14.
Something like that.
That was, yeah, he was in the army and she was 14. Yikes. And that was when they started courting.
Yikes.
And then he promised her dad that he was going to go put her in a... Immaculate Conception Catholic school or something, and that she would live with his parents, and she did, except for she spent the night with Elvis at his house and wore a Catholic schoolgirl
uniform. Motherfucker.
The pictures, you're like, yikes.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I did, besides the child rape, one thing I respected about him was the that he did go to the military after he was already famous.
Yeah, he did. So he got drafted. And again, it's not just that he was already famous. Like, he was on the ultimate upward trajectory.
He made $1 million the year he went into the military and started making like $79 a month.
Right.
He was so famous that the military branches fought over him, and he could have gone anywhere and done anything and just played guitar in the army.
Mm-hmm.
And he accepted a normal position as just
he insisted on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he wanted no special treatment. He did kitchen.
That's
kind
of cool because everybody else, and I had just mentioned this in the other episodes that we've done, that everybody who's notable in history has like tried to get away from military.
Right.
Besides if they were in the military, but they've always tried to escape military, go to Canada, you know, just try and get out of it somewhere or another. And he actually opted to go in and do just a normal job in the military.
Right.
Like, super cool. Besides the 14-year-old rape.
Besides that.
I mean, it was still weird. Every time he stepped off of a fucking plane from deployment or relocation, there
it wasn't
press
the same.
There.
Yeah.
And it was all crazy. He was getting interviewed and shit. And he like bought all the guys' new fatigues in his group and,
and
extra
TVs. Bought TVs for everything. And he donated his entire money.
But he washed
fucking
dishes and did basic training just like fucking everyone else.
Blue suede boots.
Yeah, they had blue suede boots.
They all did. Yeah. He was dope. But yeah, that was where he met. Really, he met his three great loves aside from music while he was in the army. So the army was a big influential thing. He met Priscilla, he met karate, and he met amphetamines.
Oh,
those were his three. Those were his three.
Where did he get the amphetamines from? From overseas? Huh?
Over like on base, like all the soldiers were taking amphetamines because they had to fucking stay up and do all this shit. So he ended up doing amphetamines while he was on base. He ended up doing karate while he was on base. And
that's
ended
when
up doing Priscilla when he was
that's
on
what
base.
They called it.
He ended up doing all three of them on base. I did karate. I did some amphetamines. Now it's time to do Priscilla. Wow.
So yeah, the army was very influential.
Did it say where he came up with his fucking that famous sandwich? I always thought that the sandwich was just peanut butter and bananas.
Well,
like
I think
grilled.
I did read peanut butter and bananas, but I think what happened is like, I don't know what the years were. At some point, and we're not quite there, but he gets anxiety and he starts getting prescribed medication. But like a lot of people, they don't question it when it's from a doctor. You know what I mean? You're like, well, I'm not getting it from some dude on the corner.
Yeah, yeah.
The doctor told me I can take this. It's okay.
Yeah. Right.
And so he goes from weighing like 175 pounds, I think, in like 1973. 74, 75. He jumps up to like in 1975, 200 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And then by 1977, he weighed like 275 pounds.
Right.
And he is just fucking taking every crazy medication. And that's when he gains all his weight.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I didn't find a list of medications. Some of it was anxiety, but a lot of times when you get that high, like if you're doing anything,
you're eating,
you get drunk, you get munchies, you just smoke weed, you
Girl
get munchies.
Scout cookies.
Right.
Yeah. So he ends up eating a 5,000 calorie sandwich. That's an entire hollowed out loaf of bread, one full jar of peanut butter, one full jar of jelly, and 1 pound of bacon. That's his sandwich.
That's Jesus Christ.
Oh, and honey. And honey.
Was there honey on it?
There's honey. Yeah, it was peanut butter, bananas, bacon, and honey.
I think it actually looks pretty good, but I couldn't dare do the whole
thing. The loaf is insane.
Yeah, just the loaf.
Wow.
And I don't know if that's a true picture of it or a representation of what it would be.
Yeah, I saw it.
I think the idea of peanut butter, jelly, and bacon,
I was like,
it kind of
like,
sounds good, honestly.
I was like, man, this way some good-ass barbecue sandwich. And then I like, oh, no, that's fucking peanut butter, bacon.
Yeah. A whole jar of peanut butter. Can you imagine a sub sandwich, like the fucking loaf with a whole jar of peanut butter, a whole jar of jelly?
I like how you have the printout of that. Like I'm fucking hungry too.
Exhibit
right now.
A.
Yeah.
Badass.
Yeah. This right here, Brad, is making you fat. Yeah.
5,000
calories. Right here.
Yeah.
Damn, that shit looks good as fuck too. I bet you that'd be good too. Cause bacon, like sweet bacon. Oh man. What do you think, Dave?
You just fucked him up.
Yeah.
So while he's in the army, his mom gets really sick. And
she has hepatitis.
Yeah,
she was drinking hepatitis. Heavy, and I think taking prescription meds. And that gets to the point where when he got deployed, she kind of flipped the fuck out. Like, you know, she lost her son. She bonded with him. She walked him to school until he was like almost in high school or something.
Right. Yeah, he knew where her G-spot was. Yeah.
She breastfed him until he was 21.
Yeah.
Wow. That's not right. That's not true.
That shit's like fucking curdled. Oh, just like.
It was like Brad. It was cheese when it came out. It was like easy cheese. It was like an easy cheese can.
Yeah.
Just squeeze it onto crackers.
Yeah. Oh, here you go, son.
You know, that's an American thing. Other countries don't do that because they're not fat fucks like America. No one else has canned cheese.
Who eats that? Somebody else has canned cheese.
Who eats that? My grandma, when she was alive, would give that to us when we were little, like chicken and a biscuit crackers and easy cheese.
Chicken and biscuit crackers are good, but the easy cheese.
When you were little, you remember when you're little, the cracker things with the dipsticks.
Little, it's good. Have you had them to date, though?
No, like, I know.
It's fucking horrible.
My friend Andy, who's been here, he's given us whiskey.
Yeah.
When he first started doing, he still does. He does sound. Now he works in Atlanta and lives in Florida, but he did sound in LA for years. And when he first moved there and started working, when we were young, he lived with his grandmother who had a house in Burbank.
Right.
And his grandmother was cool as fuck, but she was a little bit off. She didn't have Alzheimer's or anything, but she was a little bit senile. And one day we all like went out and ate and did something and went back to his grandmother's house. And we walked in and she was sitting there. And this is back when like everyone had like toothpaste pumps. Remember the pumps?
Uh-uh.
It wasn't a tube. It was like a little, and you like, it was a little pump and you push on it.
I picture AIM, the one with the three colors.
It was a little pump.
Yeah.
And she had,
oof.
We figured out that
you're going where you're going.
Huh? Oh, I'm going where I'm going. The easy cheese was sitting in the bathroom and the Colgate pump was sitting next to Ritz crackers on her TV tray where she was sitting in the living room.
So she's eating the Colgate crackers.
Apparently,
you know, some people
brushing
like
her
that,
teeth
you know?
With cheese.
Oh yeah,
my grandpa brushed his teeth with Preparation H one time on accident. His lips were puckered for a week.
You know what I just did? My toothbrush, for whatever reason, I didn't put it up and it was sitting on the counter.
Right.
And I just got a new pocket knife. I showed you guys, and I had my old one, and it was all fucking just mudded up because I had been on a job.
Right.
And it was all nasty. So I was like, oh,
cleaned your knife.
Yeah, so I was going to pull out, and I had another toothbrush sitting right there.
Right.
And fucking, I was like, oh, I'm going to wash it off and clean it off. So I grabbed the toothbrush, start brushing it off to get inside the little nurdles, you know? Yeah,
nurdles.
And it's like soapy looking. Like, and I was like, and I looked and I was like, oh, fuck, that's my toothbrush. I was like, son of a bitch. Like, so I wash it off, you know, and grab the other one. I was like, fuck, man.
Yeah, you got to move that shit to the, like, under the sink. Yeah, like, so in the kitchen.
Don't use it to scrub
under
something.
Sink. Under the sink.
It's always better down where it's wetter. Take it from me.
Yeah, I was like, fuck, man. Now I need a new toothbrush.
Yes, you do. But you're not going to get one.
No, I used that one that day. So, yeah.
A little bit of rubbing alcohol on that.
Yeah, it had like
Listerine. You're good.
Yeah, I didn't do that. I just washed it off. But yeah, it's good. It had like,
I mean, what was on there? Dry hooker?
Manhole water.
Ooh, yeah. Manhole water's not good. Dry hooker's one thing.
I got fucking destroyed Thursday. Well, it was like Wednesday night. No, Thursday night. Yeah. And fucking, they're pushing water through this fucking conduit and I'm holding a plug in there and trying, they're actually blowing it with air and I had to pull the plug off. Mm-hmm. Well, it was like, pull the plug off. Some air came out. I put it back on. And all of a sudden, water starts, you know, squeezing out
to
of the fucking thing.
To try to run a cable, like put a rope through it?
No. They're trying to clear it out. There's rocks and sand and shit in there and water and stuff.
Right.
And it was like a broken fucking conduit. And we're in there helping and fucking. I pull that motherfucker off, dude. And I was like, if I pull this off and jump across, I'm getting fucked. Yeah. Like, I'm getting sprayed. Yeah. It's wet and it's fucking cold. I started hailing on us that night.
Damn.
And fucking, I was like, I just pulled it, fucking turned to the side, and it deflected off of the cap into my face. Just water hose in a dog's mouth, you know, like fucking.
I told you the time I punched myself in the mouth and busted my lip.
No.
So like, it same kind of work, sort of like I was working in a phone office and we had pulled this cable down. And like, when you bring the cable down from like the 12 or 14 foot environment, it comes down these things that look like ladders and then you sew it using the string and keep like every little cable perfectly straight. And you fucking, it's a special extra little stitch you do, but you have to pull it really fucking tight and like sometimes even hammer it over because they inspect that shit and there can't be like gaps between it. You're cutting it back out and re-sewing it. So it has to be perfect. And so I'm fucking pulling on this shit and there's a metal strap so that it goes through because you feed it through with this needle thing and pull it back. And I have my fist on this fucking cord and I'm pulling this fucking thing. I'm pulling it super tight. And it just cuts the cord and I punch myself straight in the fucking mouth. Like I punched myself hard.
Like, you're like, I didn't know I could punch
I
that hard.
Bleeding. Yeah. I fucking pull it and it just goes boom. And I punch myself, turn my head and I fucking put my hand on my lip. And the first thing I think is like, tell me no one fucking saw that shit.
Yeah.
I told this story here before, but I looked over and the one guy I didn't want to fucking see it, my boss fucking saw that shit. And he was just like laughing so hard he was quiet.
Yeah.
So I didn't know he saw it yet. Yeah. And then he was just like, went and told everyone one by one. This fucking guy just punched himself in the mouth.
I got like, fucking, I was using a table saw and I was pushing a fucking board through it.
That shit is so scary.
And it was spinning towards me and I was in, it didn't have a guard on it for one. And fucking, I was standing in the wrong spot, dude. And that thing kicked, it hit a nail. And kicked that fucking board out.
I got hit in the rib.
It hit me in the stomach and then flipped up and hit me in the fucking mouth.
That could have knocked all your fucking teeth out.
No shit. That shit fucking hurt. Hard. I stood there and I was like, I just got fucking wrecked right now.
Dude, I won't use a table saw anymore. I'm scared.
Yeah.
I use the miter saw.
No, I'll use a table saw still. I still use it.
Skill saw? Nope. I just have fucking Lowe's do it. No. I'm just like, I know what I'm building and I'm like, cut that shit at 24 inches for the length and then cut it again.
No, I wasn't that. I was doing that pallet wall.
Oh. Yeah, that's a bunch of cuts. Fuck. Oh, you could have miter sawed all that.
It was easier with table saw because I had to I had to cut them to specific widths.
Oh, the width.
Yes, to make it keep it straight because some of them are like an eighth of an inch taller.
If
and
just a little bit. If it's just slightly bound, one little fucking thing goes crooked and that shit fucking shoots out. Yeah. I got hit in the rib and I had a huge bruise.
Oh yeah, I got hit in my fucking like. Right under my stomach, right in my pelvic area,
I'm
right there.
Scared of table
saw. And fucking it fucking hit me in the teeth, dude. Right. And I was just like, I couldn't even do anything. I was just like, I just got fucking hit in the face and the stomach at the same time.
You have to be afraid of those tools though. Yeah. You have to. Yeah.
It's like well, that's how you see a motherfucker with no fingers and shit. Yeah. You're like, hey, how you doing? Fucking.
Yeah. Wasn't there something we talked about? Some guy like cut his fingers off, then they took his toes off and sewed them on so he'd have a finger again and he chopped his fucking toe off his hand.
Oh, his thumb.
Yeah.
They
put like one of his toes on his thumb so he could grab shit again. Yeah. And then he was doing table saw shit and cut his toe off his thumb or whatever the fuck it was.
Cut his toe off.
Yeah.
But without his hand. Once you get to the toe, you might want to switch careers.
Yeah. Use a block.
You might want a new hobby.
I think it was hobby too. It was,
Like, fuck.
He's at his house, like, just building something.
So, Elvis gets back from the army and sort of has to, you know, relaunch the career again. And he does so without too many hiccups. In 1960, this is when he really does his like rip of movies. From in the 1960s, he recorded 27 fucking movies. Like, I don't know if like,
well, that's why they were so bad. If he
I don't know if he did 27 movies in 10 years and that motherfucker churns out.
Jackie Chan.
Jackie Chan. Fucking two movies a month or whatever.
That's crazy, dude.
That's why the movies were so bad though. If he would have done 10, like they would have been better. If he'd have done 5, they would have been even better. If he'd have done 3, they would have been really good.
More space between them.
I don't think so. I think that would have been great. Brent. It would have been great.
So he did Blue Hawaii, Girls, 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 Viva Las Vegas.
The names sound horrible.
They're so good.
Girls, Girls, Girls. Yeah.
If you haven't watched Elvis movies, you have to. They're so good.
So he dates a fucking ton of women during this time too. And I saw a funny interview with a couple of the women. And she was like, someone asked me, like, do you really think Elvis loves you? And she said, for 3 or 4 minutes, yes, I do. But it was like the Bob Marley
just
thing.
Just till they flip the bacon.
Yeah. It was like the Bob Marley thing where they didn't care. They knew, like, it's
right.
It's Elvis.
It's Elvis.
It's
right.
Elvis.
It was a
like,
fuck, yeah.
Yeah, you're getting money. Like, you're not living that
His
life.
His level of charisma, they said it was just irresistible. And how is he, even if he gets married, how is he not going to do that? You know? But he said that, well, he didn't say it was observed that he commonly found women that reminded him of his mother. Mm-hmm. And like I said earlier, he was known to say her name during intimate moments. But he was also really insecure. They said even the girl said he looked better with his clothes on than he did with his clothes off. And he was aware of it. And he was super self-conscious about the fact that he was uncircumcised. And he referred to his dick as a hillbilly pecker. And he didn't like the fact that he had a hillbilly pecker. So they said,
I'd really like to hear that in proper Elvis.
Sometimes Well, he'll build a pecker.
Thank you.
But he would rather lay there and do foreplay and cuddle sometimes because of his insecurities about actually taking his shirt off.
Turn the lights off. Shit.
Him seeing his hillbilly pecker, you know.
I mean, come on.
You know, AKA the anteater.
Right. He wanted to get it hard first, is what you're saying. Yeah.
He could have gotten fucking anteater, circumcised.
Yeah.
Oof, you can. You know, there's a reverse circumcision. They fucking Yes. They hang.
No.
That sounds worse than the circumcision.
That was a reverse no. He's like, no.
No.
They take weights and hook it to your foreskin and it hangs all day or whatever. Like you do sessions.
It's like wearing braces for your dick.
It pulls your foreskin over the head.
Oh my God.
And it hangs that way. And I guess eventually goes back. I think there's grafting or something that can happen too.
Oh.
Yeah, not worth it. I mean, Jesus.
Like, are you sad when it's only like halfway over the head? Like, it's not quite there. Yet. Like, it's like, it's like, oh, man, I don't know. I guess, you see, don't look up pictures of that.
No, I'm not looking at that. It made me think of a cartoon character. Is it Dilbert or something? What is that?
Dilbert?
What's Dilbert look like?
Dilbert, he has glasses. And
maybe I'm thinking of a different cartoon. That's what I was looking at.
What? I don't understand the connection between
something
this
like
and
a
cartoon. Yeah, what is happening?
I pictured this cartoon character where it looked like that cartoon. Like, if you had
a filled condom.
A half-circumcised penis, it would look like a cartoon. Know. It's not Dilbert, though.
It's not Dilbert.
Mm-hmm. If your dick looked like Dilbert, you're fucked.
Yeah.
You were banging a girl on the edge of a brick wall and it fucking slipped and came out and hit the wall.
That's like a hammerhead.
Cigarette. Yeah.
A snuffed cigarette. Yeah.
Well, I can't think of it. That's funny.
So he does his big comeback tour TV special in 1968. One of the sort of iconic. It's him in the black, like the black leather outfit. And when I first read about it, I thought it was like the spangled outfit ridiculousness, but that was much later.
I saw every one of the girls started that a little bit. I mean, he was known for wearing flashy clothes even as a senior and whatnot, but, she had some special vest made and he wore it on his first on the Ed Sullivan show. Mm-hmm. And that was the beginning of that whole sparkle.
Oh,
shit
really?
That evolved into fucking jumpsuits.
No, it did. It turned into fucking bedazzle madness. but so he keeps getting more popular and this, I want to see this movie. I can't remember the name of the movie. There's a movie that came out a year or so ago with, and then it's about Nixon meeting Elvis.
Okay.
And I can't remember the name of it or the name of the actor. He played the Fed in Boardwalk Empire. He's an awesome actor. He plays General Zod in the new Star Wars, new Superman movies, but he played Elvis.
I almost said Zelda. I don't know why.
But I'm curious to see it. I wanted to see Zelda. It, but I didn't have time to watch it. Zelda. But so he meets with Nixon in December of 1970, and he wants to do it because he's super patriotic. Like he always had, Elvis is super, super patriotic. Right. And he meets with Nixon. And Nixon wants to meet with him eventually. At first he doesn't want to because he's who is this guy? But then he realizes because Nixon hates hippies and he thinks that he can use Elvis to get an anti-hippie message out to the youth. So Nixon is just I can't imagine these conversations of him and Elvis trying to counter the hippie threat in America. And then Elvis ends up asking him for an official Bureau of Narcotics and Dangerous Drugs, which is the precursor to the ATF. He wants a badge and to be an honorary member of the agency, and Nixon grants it.
Oh, I didn't see
that. Nixon gives him a badge and makes him an honorary member of the Bureau of Narcotics and Dangerous Drugs.
That's just because he wants to get closer to the drugs. That's all that is.
Yeah, probably.
It's, all right, guys, we're going to go out here and we're going to look for some methamphetamines.
Thank you.
I'm all hooked up.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm all drugged up.
So he, and then apparently during this conversation, Presley told Nixon, they have both agreed apparently that the Beatles exemplified the growing trend of anti-Americanism.
Yeah. And drugs and everything else. Right, they openly do drugs and all
and
that.
And there was
stuff,
a whole weird thing about Paul McCartney finding this out years later while talking to Elvis.
He died.
Butthurt about it and all the,
The real Paul McCartney.
Oh, that's true.
The government plant found it out.
Right.
Yeah.
But shortly after this, he starts to have some struggles. He and Priscilla end up getting a divorce.
Did you see how they actually got married, though? Her father blackmailed him.
No.
Yeah, because he met, I don't know, what's that girl's name? She was fucking smoking hot, though. Another actress, which was basically like his equivalent at the time as far as popularity, but being a female. And he was really into that girl. Oh, Anne Margaret. That's what it was. Anne Margaret.
Anne Margaret's awesome.
Yeah, she's... Dude, those pictures.
And Margaret was fucking awesome.
Smoking hot.
She was smoking hot. She was an awesome singer.
She was Priscilla, though.
She was in tons of Elvis movies. Like, yeah. When I used to be
on Margaret was way hotter. Wasn't she on the Munsters?
No.
Is she the daughter?
No. Yeah. No?
When I used to be on my crazy Elvis rush of watching all of his movies, I had quite a crush on Anne Margaret.
Yeah. And during the interviews and shit, like he's like kissing Anne Margaret. And like there's an interview with this girl
Swedish.
Who's the cocktail waitress walking past them. And she gives like kind of a dirty look. But his girl called Little Bit or something that he was banging before he started hooking up with Anne Margaret while he's with Priscilla. But she's living with his parents. And he had promised her father, I will marry her. And he was like, I don't. He liked Anne Margaret. But his mom told him to never marry someone in show business. So he sort of sabotaged that shit. And her dad started to threaten him with what it seemed to be sex with underage girls, and like some statutory rape type thing. So he ended up marrying Priscilla, one out of a promise because he was kind of held to his word and respected authority because of the way he was brought up. But secondly, because he's being blackmailed with statutory rape charges against all these fucking girls. You know, he's 22 and he's banging 17-year-old and 16-year-old girls this whole time. So that's how that marriage started before it ended.
Right.
And Margaret looks way better now than Priscilla.
She looks good now?
Yeah.
Let's see it.
Well, she looks like, I mean, pretty normal, like, as opposed to...
Damn, some of those pictures,
Priscilla Presley. Let me find a, like,
she was
a
even in the second Naked Gun movie. She
really?
Was, like, the main...
Still looking
lead.
Good?
Yeah, so, like, she's, like, mom status, but she's 76. Her, yeah. 76 yeah. years old, dude. And, like...
Well, for 76,
yeah. Well, yeah. But look at...
She just went up, like, 2 points.
Yeah. Yeah, but then... And then you have the drug-induced...
76, really?
You just fucking ran up. He's like...
God, bang the shit out of her.
It'd still be like a 5-gallon bucket of hot water. Hot dog down the hallway, man.
No, yeah, Priscilla Presley's had so much...
so much work done, dude.
Yeah, maybe close up, it wouldn't be like that. When we were sitting in the
airport. She kind of looks like Michael Jackson with worse hair.
Yeah, her cheeks. She has like doll cheeks. Like she's really weird looking. Like,
yeah.
Trying to find like a normal. They have old pictures of everybody.
Well, anyways, divorce. But yeah, he was hot on Anna and Margaret for a little while there.
I mean, she takes his daughter. She gets full custody of the daughter, Lisa Marie. And that kind of fucks him up. And this kind of makes his drug addiction get worse. And like you said, his primary physician is giving him tons of prescription meds. And he never feels like it's anything to be ashamed of or worry about because it's all
doctor's orders.
Right.
There's the two of them together, like on a drug bender. Looks
wow,
like.
Apparently. Courtney Love was just outside of that.
Yeah, she's like, they cut it just short. Yeah. Yeah, they're just all like, you know, what's crazy though is Lisa Marie has Elvis's eyes. Like if you look at
him. Yeah, absolutely.
Like it's really weird.
Yeah.
There was some close up of Elvis's eyes and he's pretty. I was like, God damn, that dude is fucking good looking. Yeah. I got a thing for him. I'll be honest. I'm one generation.
You wanted
off,
to be honest.
You're going
to
put peanut butter on his Margaret. Ass.
Yeah. Oh, it was the peanut butter thing. Yeah. I just wanted Aunt Margaret to get closer to Elvis. Yeah. Yeah, that was my plan.
Tear it up.
So he starts to fall apart at this point. Starts to fucking blow through a ton of his money. The group that they call the Memphis Mafia, which were his bodyguards that hung out with him, like his whole entourage. His son ended up becoming his financial manager. And
one of his stepbrothers worked really closely with him too, yeah. And had an account. Downhill.
But they started to like have to fire people and cut his expenses. And his band members were saying that like in his final couple of tours, because towards the end he was touring constantly. He did like 168 shows.
He signed a Vegas
act
too at one point. Yeah.
He did 168 shows in 1 year once he was doing the Vegas thing. But like his band member said that he would be so fucking stoned on prescription meds that he couldn't even like they said he would still be able to get on there and like sort of like a robot sing the songs.
Right.
But in the points where he had to like introduce the band or say stuff, it was just like a slurry fucked up mess.
They said he would hold on to the microphone stand like it was a rail or something to keep him up for like the first 30 minutes. And then they said if you went to the dressing room, he was just like slumped over the fucking chair to the point of like intervention where they were like, hey man, like, you know what? It's okay to just take a year off.
Yeah. I think it was like, his bass player said that. Said I was I tried to talk him into taking a year off,
and he was like,
but he didn't have any money.
About me, I'll be all right.
Oh,
yeah, but
he didn't have any money. He needed it,
right?
But it's kind of hard. All the money you're getting, you're just putting it back into drugs,
right? Like Well, he also had a fucking crazy, extravagant lifestyle too. I mean, you kind of get sucked into that whole thing.
Yeah. Dude, that sandwich alone's $50.
That's right. Yeah.
Have you ever seen? I don't know if you guys know anybody who was like half-ass famous. Not us, but like somebody who was kind of almost in the NFL, or they were like a B player in the NFL, or whatever. You know, like, and now they're like trying to start stuff, like. Maybe start a business or do something like to where they still live like a higher end lifestyle, but they don't have any money. You know, like it's almost really sad.
Yeah.
Like I've met a few people like that. I'm like, oh man, it's like, it's crazy because you see the stress in their eyes. Right. You know what I mean? Like
I call it 6 months from now is what I call that.
Yeah.
No.
So in June of 1977, he does some concerts in Indianapolis, and those are his last concerts. And he goes back to Graceland to prepare for another big, crazy fucking tour year. And on August 16th, 1977, when he was 42 years old, somebody walks into the bathroom and finds him dead on the bathroom floor.
This was a group of people in there. They went in like, oh God, he fell down. And then they turned him over and his brother said, he literally made the joke, dude. I was like, oh, that was in poor taste. His brother in the interview said, you could tell that Elvis had left the building.
How can you not?
Yeah. You kind of have
come on. You got to take that one.
And they were like,
you got to take that one.
They tried to call, cause of death, cardiac arrhythmia or something, like they had a heart attack. And his brother was like, no, that's an OD for sure.
Right.
And it turns out after some investigation, he was on up to 10 different prescription meds taken in doses that would never be prescribed and never together taken.
Well, if all you want to do is scratch the surface, yes, he died of heart failure.
Yeah.
But why did he have heart failure? Because of all the fucking drugs.
Peanut butter sandwich.
Yeah. Didn't we talk about this in the Michael Jackson episode? Like the Elvis it happened to the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot. I mean, it happens to a lot of fucking musicians.
Yeah.
Like they end up getting into prescription drugs that they have faith in their doctors.
Did we do a Michael Jackson episode?
Didn't we do
Michael Jackson? Did we?
Didn't we?
I don't know.
You did that as a joke?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did it. The little hand touches the big hand? Yeah, that's how you know what time it is. Yeah, that's how you know what time it is at Neverland Ranch, is when the big hand's on the little hand.
I don't remember.
So he ends up dying.
So much stuff going on.
You're making me wonder right now.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, sure did we do that? Because that's just a joke that you have.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'll look. I don't know. Now you got me wondering. You keep talking.
Well, I was trying to figure out what other musicians we've done that haven't been black.
Now you're fucking with me because I would have said right away, yes, we did. But now I'm saying, did we?
I don't know.
No, we did.
I think we did.
We did.
I think we did.
Right?
I'm searching. I can't picture the cover art in my head as I'm trying to figure out.
I can't either. I don't know.
Didn't we?
Billy the Kid. Oh, right there. Yep.
Yeah, okay. Michael Jackson.
Not that long ago either, dude.
Wow. No, I remember the cover art. It was the statue.
No, it says 225.
Oh, goddamn.
Yeah. I don't remember that one. Man, I don't remember
what do we
that
sound
one.
Like?
All right. Brief interruption. We're going to take an intermission right now, folks. Brad Massage Hour on Craigslist Massage.
You got
him. Yeah.
Because I didn't want to go anywhere. You lose parking. But
you lose parking.
Somebody take your spot. Out of town.
Oh, you're out of town in a hotel and you call a massage service on Craigslist. Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds legit.
Well,
you sure you want to tell the story on the show?
Yeah, because, okay.
I forgot all about that.
I do remember that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he ends up dying, or did he?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the there's the million sightings, you know, all over the place, and it gets
because there's not a bunch of impersonators running around.
Right, that's right. I mean, well, here's the thing, like, because once I was like really thinking about it, I thought, you know, a whole lot of motherfuckers who were super fucking popular died. And there weren't sightings.
Right.
Like Michael Jackson died. Everybody wasn't saying, oh, there's Mike. Like, I saw Michael Jackson.
He's a very unique looking dude, though.
But still, I thought
Elvis,
it was odd.
Like, you could be an overweight white dude with aviator fucking glasses and chops.
With a meth problem.
Yeah, with chops. And immediately it's like, was that Elvis? He looks kind of fucking fat, sloppy, sweaty, and has those glasses.
But like, they claim he was in the movie Home Alone.
What?
Yeah, you didn't
Where?
See that? No. Yeah, there's like a photo. It's like when the mom is at the airport trying to get a ticket to fly home, and there's a guy in line behind her, and everybody claims it's Elvis.
It could have been an impersonator, though. That's
no, he's not dressed like Elvis. It's just some fucking dude with a beard. Right. And then there's like at the 35th anniversary
that
of his death.
That is not Elvis.
Thank you. At the 35th anniversary.
Fast.
It comes right up. It's fucking crazy. At the 35th anniversary, there was like a dude, like an older dude that was the right age who had like security with him and no one knew who he was. And people thought that might have been Elvis going back to his own 35th and just ends of, you know, at tons of sightings. And one of the things was one of the theories that's, thrown out there is by a woman named Gail Brewer Giorgio.
Maybe his twin didn't die.
Oh, exactly. Oh. No, people talk about that.
Maybe
people
his twin killed him.
But people, she wrote a book called Is Elvis Alive in 1988. And it makes the assertion that because he was so patriotic, and when he met with the president and did all this stuff, the FBI used him to infiltrate some subset of the mafia, because he had been known to have sold real estate and a boat to these mafia people. And since he had this in, she claimed that they used him as a tool to infiltrate the mafia and gain information, and that he didn't die. He was under protection.
Undercover.
Like he's in witness protection,
which he was part of the FBI.
Was gonna kill him.
I mean,
they go deep on the Home Alone. They're like circling his mouth side by side and fucking arrows to little things.
It's not him. Like if you watch the actual video, it's not him.
I started to watch a thing on Netflix the other night, and it's called like Lookalikes or something. It's pretty shitty. So
well, you
far.
Just ran into a guy that you thought was somebody else. You thought a dude was another dude playing a dude.
Oh, that did just happen to me. And that just
happened. Yeah.
But no, there's like celebrity lookalikes that are like half-assed shitty enough that if 10 years passed and the other guy was dead, that guy could be in the airport and you would think that. You know what I mean?
Right. I don't know. There's been, I think women are the worst at it. Like they're like, oh, that looks just like so-and-so. And you're like, no.
Right.
Not even close.
And the thing is, it's like, even if I'm on board with the Tupac Island hypothesis that Elvis is still alive, and if he is alive, come on, he definitely lives on Tupac Island at this point.
Yeah, you'd have to.
You'd have to. But you're going to like fake your own death and then be an extra in Home Alone?
Yeah.
What the fuck are you talking about? And it's like, you know, we're felt like, it's not like when you looked at the script for Home Alone, you were like, now this thing is going to be a culture.
One.
This is a hit.
Yeah.
He did like horrible movies.
That's true.
Yeah, dude, I would keep it up.
I fucking watched Home Alone. I don't know if I had mentioned it,
dude,
on here, because I think I watched it with my kids and fucking, it was funny as shit. Dude.
Oh,
like the original
awful,
Home
dude.
Alone is fucking funny, dude. When they break into the house, I was crying laughing. My daughters were laughing at me because I was laughing so hard. Like, it was funny as shit.
I think we talked about it on the show.
I think we did, yeah.
Because Joe Pesci, the van, said, okay, plumbing.
Yeah.
And then on Lethal Weapon, he's like, okay. That's like Joe Pesci's thing. And then in Home Alone, his van was okay, plumbing.
So the final thing that I have to say about Elvis, and this was, I was very disappointed to find this out. This is one example of doing research for the podcast, like completely had to change my worldview. And I'm really saddened to say on this microphone to the world that Elvis was not a racist.
He wasn't, huh? You tried hard. You wanted to look for that.
Because everybody, it's like, oh,
why would he be a
racist? Because that's what everybody says.
Your response on text message was convincing.
No, exactly.
I was like, wow.
Like, that's the thing. As soon as Brent said, let's do Elvis, I immediately countered with, Elvis was a hero to most, but he never meant shit to me because the sucker was racist, straight up, simple and plain. Motherfuck him and John Wayne.
Yeah.
From Public Enemy.
And then what did I say?
Power.
Malcolm X wasn't racist.
Right.
I mean, just right.
No. But when I did the research, he wasn't racist. Like the whole thing was, so there was a rumor
going
around.
He grew up in a black neighborhood.
Like, well, there's a rumor going around that in 1957, he said, quote, the only thing Negroes can do for me is buy my records and shine my shoes.
So that's not racist.
But it turns out he never said it.
Okay.
Like that was
and
not
And that's not racist.
That's kind of racist.
That might have been the only thing they could do for him at the time. I mean, honestly, let's talk about this.
So
they might not have had,
but it turns out like, and they even like
their options
at the heat of his popularity, Jet Magazine, as black as it gets, sent a reporter like to go on set of Jailhouse Rock and meet with Elvis to, and as part of, and this was after Elvis had pretty much started declining all interviews. He was super right. Like he wasn't doing anything, but he was really disturbed by the fact that black audiences thought he was racist, so right. He invited Jet to come and interview
did
him.
Did they find the source of where that was supposedly quoted from?
No, they did. I forget what it said. They found, they did find the source, but the interviewer, Louis Robinson, ended up doing like a really deep research, like talking to all of his friends, talking to everybody, like looking into all this stuff. And like everything that he saw was like, he would see Elvis talking about a blues musician and Elvis would say, "Oh, I wish to God I had a quarter of what he had, because my records right. would be through the roof." And like, he had nothing but respect for black artists and he had nothing but respect for black people. He would go, like, all this evidence he overturned, like he would go, like when he was in Memphis, he would go to the fair on like the black night, because it was segregated, so blacks could right. only go on one night, and that was the one night that Elvis wanted to go because he wanted to.
He actually was racist and, against white people.
Yeah, it kind of sounds
he
like
didn't
that
like white people
more than everything. And the reporter said, quote, "He showed me every courtesy and I think he's one of the greatest." But so I had it in my notes. I'm not finding it where the rumor came from. But it was reported in some kind of a magazine and it was completely,
they were trying to tear him down,
completely yeah. discredited, but it ended up taking off in black neighborhoods and it lingered.
Right.
And even all the black artists, this guy would interview everybody who toured with Fats Domino, BB King, all these people. And they were like, "This motherfucker's not racist. He's legit." You know, like, so I'm sad to report that Elvis is not racist.
Did you see how many people came to his funeral?
7.
Yeah. What's that? Never mind.
Why is that?
80,000 people attended, like lined the fucking streets yeah. to his funeral. And his body, they tried to steal his body. Did yeah. you see that?
Yeah.
They had to dig him back up
yeah.
and relocate his body to the yeah, meditation garden of yeah, grace.
He was buried in the
what
regular
were they
cemetery.
Do with that yeah. shit? They're going to pull a Brad and put it in a singlet,
yeah,
taxidermy it by the jukebox.
They caught him. They caught people trying to steal mm-hmm. his body. So they had to move his body to Graceland where it could be under constant security and he could be closer to
that's
his mama.
That's so weird.
Yeah. What yeah. is
people,
that plan?
People are fucking weird.
Yeah.
Like, we've met some, yeah, like, it's very, I don't know, the more and more we do this, like the more and more I find out how weird people actually are.
Yes.
You know, not just yeah. normal weird.
I didn't know, how multicultural it was though, as far as like, you know, like Filipino people, like it's huge. Like they fucking absolutely. Dress up and they have a contest. Like mm-hmm. you win a trip to Graceland. There's like this annual yeah, fucking thing.
I'm going to look up Filipino Elvis impersonator.
They just look like Elvis. You can't tell. If you hear the audio, it's kind of funny. But when you see it,
one of the best things I've ever
look
seen,
like Elvis.
One of the best things I've ever seen in my life was on.
They do not. They look like Kim Jong-un with yeah, Elvis do. Glasses on.
I saw on Sabado Gigante on Telemundo.
Okay, those ones are
those
rough.
Are bad.
Those ones are good.
An Elvis impersonator that's midget on stilts named Elvez. And it was the best thing I've ever seen in my life.
That's pretty good.
So fantastic.
Yeah, I think this is my new thing.
There's nightclubs.
Filipino Elvis impersonators.
There's nightclubs in India. There was a Japanese woman that was being interviewed and she was so emotional. And her quote was, "He was born into this world as the son of God." I was like,
no,
God,
it's a, like Japan specifically is like crazy. Like when
Japanese Elvis impersonators,
I forget his name, but when the prime minister,
can't tell 'cause they have glasses on though.
The prime minister of Japan came to the United States to have a summit with George W. Bush.
I watched that.
And Bush took him to Graceland mm-hmm. because he was a huge Elvis fan. And even like, you even see photos of him at Graceland and he's kind of Elvis'd out a little bit. He's still kind of prime ministery.
No, he sang a little
but
bit.
His shirt is a little Elvis. Yeah. Oh, I didn't see that. He's got yeah. some Elvis shades on. He's just kicking it at Graceland.
Yeah, George Bush was on there. He's like, "Well, let's just go to show, you know, what a big impact." And he's like doing his thing.
That's pretty good.
And that was
yeah,
good. That's really good. I had to look up. I was like, did you just pull some audio clip out?
And then the fucking prime minister sits there and he's like, Olifu's Russia. He starts doing, he starts singing. Right. And George Bush is like, he kind of looks like he wants George Bush to jump in on karaoke and he doesn't do it, but he sings like one line of a couple songs.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
He was furious, George.
Yeah. He was.
Yeah, he was very angry.
So yeah, I mean,
American music.
Like I said, don't care for his music. Never have. It's never tickled my fancy. It's never struck a chord. His movies are awesome. If you've never seen Elvis movies, just go and don't start with the big ones. Don't start with Jailhouse Rock. Don't start with G.I. Blue. Start with some shit you've never heard of because it's going to be the most awful. And start with one with Anne Margaret because you're going to see everybody loved Anne Margaret. Yeah, watching her sing and it, like she was so flirtatious on the. I mean, she had it. Anne Margaret was it.
I just if Elvis didn't get big in music, he would have been like the first Evel Knievel or something. Like the way he dressed, he just like on a motorcycle with a cape and his glasses. Like
Evel Knievel probably came.
Oh, he was biting from Elvis. Right? Yeah. Evel Knievel was totally biting Elvis's moves. Yeah,
that's hilarious.
That's funny.
So there's Elvis.
What other thank yous do we have? So sponsors.
Yeah.
Oh, I will say I want to say a quick thank you to Cynade.
Mm-hmm. She's a nasal spray.
Yeah, nasal. Yeah, I was gonna say if you're ever plugged up.
Yeah. Cynade. And for everybody in the group,
Cynade, like it's what you need.
Cynade. Yeah, Cynade, it's what you need. That's right.
But I got a really thoughtful gift. A bunch of you from all over the world. Sent notes about the passing of my brother, and it got sort of bound together as a book with photos of everybody who sent the messages, and it was very, very touching. It was really mind-boggling to just turn the page and be like, oh, here's someone in fucking England who's like saying something, and here's somebody in Australia, and here's somebody
fuck Australia.
Like it was really fucking cool. I appreciate everybody who was involved with it. It was really heartfelt, and I really
did. You guys see the Johnny Wombat fucking on Instagram, the guy?
No.
Oh God, he's talking shit to me.
Johnny Wombat.
Is that his name? It's like he had a character. Oh. Like,
I just want to tell Shanae thank you just for always being the organizer of fucking everything. You know, whether it be Christmas gifts or books or whatever she does, and just for being the boss,
organizer of blowjobs.
Yeah, the boss of blowjobs.
Yeah.
Yep.
And she's what you need. Yeah. And also thank you to Andrea Chabot. I'm going with that one for helping organize the GoFundMe and facilitating that as well.
Yeah. I have a couple of shout outs. Eddie Lashley's mom. Just want to give her thanks.
Mm-hmm.
She's great. He's not. She had a shitty kid, but it's not her fault.
I was going to thank her, but she owes me money. So.
Maybe yeah, next time. I left a Snickers on the dresser.
That's how you did.
Yeah.
That's normally what she charges me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She just wants
just a Snickers?
Just a bite size.
Or like a laugh. You just snicker at her.
No, she wants a bite size Snickers.
Bite size.
I didn't want to tell
you. Give her the bite size.
Well, I started with a full size Snickers. I started with a king size and then I had a regular one and then I ended up with only a bite size.
That's because you overpaid because she charges whatever the relative work was.
Oh.
So if she's charging you a bite size, I didn't want you to be embarrassed and say that to everybody. But yeah.
Man. Nice. Well, another shout out, Alexis B, just for posting. Just seen some posts and I hadn't seen your name before. So shout out to you. I'm not going to say anything mean to you, you fucking whore. But, and then, Brad Humphrey Shogarts, Humphrey Bogart.
I got it.
All right.
You were so amused with that and so sad that we
weren't. I was like, anyway, just shout out to him. His name's stupid and he's stupid.
I saw he called out a shout out to all Brads in the group and didn't get much response. So there's like four or something.
Well, I mean, Brad's a unique name.
It is. It's not very common.
No,
it's not. Dave Apis, I think it's how you say that. Is that how you say A-P-I-S?
I call him Appies.
Appies. Dave Appies sent us a pipe bomb from the United Kingdom and blamed the fat mailman for stealing it. But it finally showed up and it had brambleberry jam and some honey from his actual bees.
Yep.
So thank you for sending that.
Have you seen Brambleberry Park? Isn't that cartoon? It's pretty bad.
That does sound. Yeah, I can't watch it. It's like
you can't watch it with the kids.
No. I started to watch that shit. It's really bad.
If I can't watch it with my kids, you definitely can't watch it with yours.
Whoever the fuck gave me this Gary Coleman shirt, I don't know.
What you talking about, Willis? Yeah. Gary Coleman. That's a creepy. He has white face on.
Yeah, he's got shirt. That's a creepy.
You have to for
he's
the
got like
contrast.
A Chucky demon face.
Yeah, he does.
Well,
a lot of mascara.
Thank you. You got my size right. It just said Brent, and it was international shipping from the UK, it's Great dope. Britain, somewhere. It's I don't dope. Know, but I would like to tell you thank you for real. If you would step forward and claim your
prize,
claim your prize, Victor.
Claim your penis.
Oh, you know, and shout out to Project Reclamation Podcast. They had asked us some questions. Me and Brad said, hey, if you have questions on how to start a podcast, I really didn't do much. I answered some very basic questions. And like, surprisingly, like a week or two later, they were like, oh, we have three episodes out. And I started to listen to it. Good sound quality. It's kind of like a self-help, like motivations type podcast, three different guys. And they have like one of them lost a bunch of weight, getting your life together, basically reclaiming your life. But it's, I mean, it's something kind of close to my heart. I've thought about doing that type of podcast. Brad's talked about it a little bit. Mm-hmm. But go check it out. Project Reclamation Podcast.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Check us out. Did you do sponsors already?
I didn't do sponsors yet.
Go ahead.
Thank you to El Yucateco Hot Sauce. You can find them at most major grocery stores. You can get them on their website. Use code SOFAKING to save some money doing it. And they have all kinds of cool gear and whatnot. Thank you to printdirtcheap.com. You can go to printdirtcheap.com to order printed goods. And also use code SOFAKING to save some money and give us credit for doing that. Tons of people tell me, oh, dude, I bought shit at Print Dirt Cheap. I forgot to use your code. Two things. We get credit and he knows we sent someone there. Yeah. That'd be awesome. And secondly, you save fucking money. Use the code if you're going to do it, please. But thank you for using a sponsor that we recommended. Also, thank you to De Leon Graphics for our silkscreen goods, t-shirts and whatnot that are available on sofakingpodcast.com/shop. Also, thank you to Digital Creations. They actually have a website up now and it's linking to a Facebook store. So you're starting to be able to buy goods online from them. And it's mydigitalcreations.com and you can click on shop and it will take you to their Facebook shop. And so far, there's just a few test items up there, like the basic bitch bottle, I think, is on there. Coffee mm-hmm. mugs and whatnot, but you can get one-offs that
Chris
are custom Fell's printed.
Gonna be on there every day.
I actually have access one. To it. I should put his face on that mug and just call funny. It the basic. I don't know. I probably shouldn't put basic bitch on their store without asking, but I'll see. But yeah, so you can check them out at mydigitalcreations.com and on social media. If you would go follow, if you can find our sponsors on social media, go follow and or like and comment on their stuff. I'm gonna try this next coming show. We're going to do like a sticker pack giveaway, a t-shirt giveaway. Like each of our sponsors have some type of giveaway, like how we do the hot sack, so that we can get you guys to engage some more on social media and help give our sponsors some more engagement as well.
Yeah, because you're not doing enough.
Yeah.
That's right. And one thing that
I got a bottom bitch. I'm not naming anybody, but we got a hierarchy. Podcast pimp is a thing and I'm doing it. And I got as many as five women directly under me.
That and somebody posted in the group this
it would be under week. Us. It's for us.
Under us. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's kind of like me and Dave are the top and then you get to do shit work is what happens. Yeah.
I enjoy it though.
Yeah. So when do you do anything other than just the show? Yeah. Me neither. No. What are you doing, Brent? A lot of stuff. Yeah.
Everything.
Exactly. I write show notes. Brent does everything.
Yeah.
I like pictures.
I will say that there is, I mentioned this a long time ago and someone posted it in the group that it's there now, is we do have a subreddit. It's very seldom used and I'd like to see the subreddit get some traction.
No, I don't get on Reddit.
I get on Reddit more than I get on Facebook. I spend a lot of time on Reddit. It's pretty dope. If you're not used to Reddit, then it's a strange pool to
I don't
into,
know it well enough either. Someone's going to have me go on another podcast to talk to the guy that's like currently the most high-ranking Reddit participant or Redditor. Something. I was like, fuck, I don't know anything about Reddit. I'll sound like an ass on there. I'm not doing that.
So we do have one. If you're already a Redditor, it's just r/SofaKingPodcast. I don't know that the caps matter, but the Sofa sure the King, the, I think the S, the K, and the P
I know that
capitalized.
I stumbled on it just Googling Sofa King. So I do that from time to time just to see what's out on social media, and I found the Reddit before.
I don't know who the moderators are. I'd love to hear from them. I'd love to see people start to subscribe and post on the...
Yeah, if you're moderating that, let us know so that we can help support or do whatever that we might be able to collaborate somehow. Right.
And if you've never been to Reddit and you want to check it out, just go to reddit.com. /r/SofaKingPodcast and you get to the subreddit or just go to reddit.com and search SofaKingPodcast and you'll find it.
Also,
to see it blow up.
Board shorts, Camryo Jiu-Jitsu, sword fighting, things like that. Armhunter.com. I almost forgot. Talk about stores and shit. That's all I got. What song you got, Brad?
Lifestyle by Kyle Bent. Don't be a retard.
We just chillin', we just vibin', this one hell of a time. Go tell your girlfriend, tell her girlfriends, they can all come and slide.
I say fuck how they feel. Yeah. Bitch, I'ma eat and then leave you the bill. Ooh. I'm from the east, my OG's in the trail. Ooh. Who got the keys to my Jeep in the veil? I set it off, now they call me Miss Cleo. Please call your freaks up all three and let's chill. They suck so good, I fell asleep at the wheel. Ho, I'm on fire, let's grease up the grill. I don't need a whole meal, yeah. I just need me an appetizer, enchilada. Ooh. Some burgers, a half a lobster, and a pasta. Ooh. You swerving, just add a lot of avocado. I'm serving that crashing, driving past the lines in the Carolina. Yeah. I got ties and I'm back on your back behind you. Yeah. If I die, I come back as an anaconda. Swallow all of them paws. Okay, I think they must got me fucked up. What's up? It's hard for these hoes to trust us. I ain't shit. I know I'm probably to blame now. For the reason why she done with gang now. I ain't shit. What happened to me? Nigga, what happened to you? You used to have it your way. Yeah, you used to be the man back in the day. Back when you had the backpack in the shade.
We just chillin', we just vibin'. This one hell of a time. Go tell your girlfriend, tell her girlfriends they can all come and slide. You like my style, you like my aura. I could see in your eyes now that you really like the boy. But what you like more is my lifestyle, oh yeah. We don't do nothing less, it's about progressing our minds. You can't hang with us if you just want a piece of that pie. Nah, I ain't trying to fit in, talk it, I live it, man, that's my style. Y'all talk about who did it, they ain't in the picture, man.
I guess that they finally hip to the plan, yeah. Back then they ain't understand, I guess the vision was just made for one man, yeah. The power was all in my hand, I start the wave, man, I'm the new Poseidon. Moving through the stages, yeah, it's cool, I'm rising. My whole life is racing, flying through the mileage, trying to raise the wave, but getting to my knowledge. Yeah, this life's amazing, and honestly, what you make it. Treat it like putty, you gotta shape it. The blessings are plenty and for the taking. The dreams, they be petty, you gotta chase them. Can never slow down, man, you gotta pace it. Success be so sweet that you gotta taste it for your own satisfaction and entertainment. Never for the hatred or the dollar faces. Ladies nowadays, they be asking me, what's your hair color, blonde or green? Honestly, the world may never know. Money on my mind, turn the pots of gold. On this glory road, and my whole team, they gon' roll for show. Homie Monty, he gon' roll the pots of stove. Light it up like the pots on the stove. See how high we go.
We just chillin', we just vibin'. This one hell of a time. Go tell your girlfriend, tell her girlfriends they can all come and slide. You like my style, you like my aura. I can see in your eyes now that you really like the boy. But what you like more is my lifestyle, oh yeah. We don't do nothing less, it's about progressing our mind. You can't hang with us if you just want a piece of that pie. Nah, I ain't trying to fit in, talk it, I live it, man, that's my style. Y'all talk about who did it, they ain't in the picture, man, it's right now. We don't do nothing less, it's about progressing our minds. You can't hang with us if you just want a piece of that pie. Nah, I ain't trying to fit in, talk it, I live it, man, that's my style. Y'all talk about who did it, they ain't in the picture, man, it's right now.